God is good. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, almost. We'll take you into the afternoon. Not too much, hopefully, prayerfully. We'll see. Depends on how big this monologue is going to be. We'll find out. That part is not in the notes, so I don't know. But God is good. Happy New Year. If I didn't tell you last week, tell everybody, those watching around the world, Happy New Year. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the worship team. Worship team, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing over them. We thank you for the time of worship. I have something I want to share, but I just feel I want to share. The word I'm getting right now is joy. Yeah, we're going to talk about aching sin. I just pray joy over everyone here. Joy over every family. God is good. God is good. We'll get there, maybe. Let's read. We'll try to transition. Joshua, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 10. And here we'll read first and then we'll talk some more. So verse 10, Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. And like I said, we're going to talk about the sin of Achan's sin. And it says, we'll pick it up in verse 10. It says, "So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord shall take shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come by man. Then it shall be that that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done, and do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils of beautiful Babylonian garment 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there was hidden in the tent with the silver under it, and they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, to all the children of Israel, and laid them before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? the Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Then they raised over a great heap of stones still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of this place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. So we pick up this story. We picked it up at the end of the story. Just so you know. We pick it up at the end, and just let me backtrack a little bit. A few days, maybe a day or two after Christmas, I was at home and I was listening, and I forget who it was. I've been trying to remember who it was, but that probably is not important. But I was listening to a preacher on TV, and when he was speaking, he brought up this story, or a point in the story. And I was sitting there, and I was in the desk, and I was working, and I was listening. The story, as he was sharing the story, I just heard clearly, says, that's the message for the new year. And that's what, it hit me like that. I was like, the message for the new year. I said, okay. I said, so I remembered that. I wrote it down. And then, so I already knew that I would be speaking soon. And so I said, okay, well, Lord, that's the message for the new year, right? So right away we started writing notes and things like that. So I said, okay, Joshua, Sin of Achan, Valley of Achor. And then last week, Pastor Al mentioned it. And he mentioned it for about a minute or two, three, four, five. And I said, man, I was sitting back there. I said, man, he did a way better job. But I was encouraged that it came up again. And then on Wednesdays, we're about to start learning about our battles before entering into the promised land. And we start off in Joshua chapter 1. So if you haven't tuned in, there's a plug for Wednesdays. I know the announcement's passed. If you haven't tuned in, right, that was day one only. All right, eventually I got to go on payroll, guys, because But we learn about these battles, right? And this talks about the battle of AI or I, and they're going to find out it's a I. I've been working on that one all night, baby. I tried. I was in front of the mirror and I tried it. But you see, and I like to, as I listen to what other people are saying, as we share the word of God and what we're talking and we're speaking to one another, right? I like to listen and I like to kind of try to think and figure out, I guess, and try to see what the Lord is telling me, but what the Lord is telling us also, right? I do believe He speaks to us as a body, as a church, right? Right, just as He speaks to you individually, I do believe He speaks to us. And when we gather here, right, and somebody's up here speaking, right, it's the message for us, and maybe for somebody it affected different than others, but I do believe it's for us, right, it's for the church. And so I was encouraging, listening, and I said, okay, I said, Pastor Al and Hassan and Dina, they're at my level. No, I'm kidding. No way. But I said, Lord, what are you showing us? What are you speaking? I don't believe this is coincidence, right? And we're going to see some things in this story that speaks to us, things that have to be taken care of. But I do believe ultimately, as we see in these stories, the promised land is what lays ahead, right? The promised land is what's coming. The promises of God is what's in our future. The blessings of the Lord is what is at hand when we give our life to the Lord, right? His goodness, protection, and all the benefits that come from giving our life to the Lord are before us. And we see here as we read, this is the end of the story, and I'll try to backtrack a little bit, because we see that before we got to this place, Okay. They had the battle of Jericho.
And we know the Battle of Jericho, we back up Joshua 5 and 6. We know what happens there with Joshua, right? We know he meets the commander of the army of the Lord. Right? He has his drawn sword. Are you for us or against us? And he says, no. Neither. Right? But you know he meets the commander of the army of the Lord. He's given instructions about Jericho to march around, right, the walls for 7 days. And we know that on the seventh day, they march around 7 times. We know that the walls come down. We know that everybody is destroyed except one family, which is Rahab, right, for helping the spies. And her and her household, her and her family were saved, were spared. And there's victory for the Israelites. Right? That's the shortest version of the Battle of Jericho. Right? On Wednesdays, they'll get to it. And it'll be like 5 weeks. But praise God. But you see, and I want to share that because this battle of Jericho and what happens here in Jericho, walls coming down, we know it's a great victory. It's spoken a lot. We know it a lot. And it's a great battle, great victory. They didn't even have to do anything. Right? But be obedient to the word of the Lord. Right? March around. Walls came down. And then they get to this place. They get to Ai. And we learn that when they get to this place, that they're going to suffer their first loss there in the promised land. Their first defeat. Right? I got to give you the sports analogy. Right? They're undefeated. And they finally lose in the championship after sweeping in the playoffs. Talking about the 2000 Lakers. If you guys didn't catch that, put that in your notes. But they reach Ai. They reach this place, and it's their first defeat. And it's going to be their first defeat. And this place, just the word itself, Ai, it means a heap of ruins. And eventually that's going to happen, as you read in chapter 8. Right, eventually that'll happen. But this happens before here. Ai also represents the flesh. Jericho represented the world. Ai represents the flesh. And later on, we're going to meet not today. The Gibeonites, but if you keep reading, they represent the devil, which are the three enemies that we face. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But Ai represents right here the flesh, right? And we know that there's a battle with the flesh. We live in this flesh, and we know there's a battle. I might be jumping ahead. It's okay. We just shaved off 3 minutes. And like I said, it means a heap of ruins. It represents the flesh. And the flesh is our old nature, which is always a rebellion with God. Right? It's always a rebellion? That's a new word. Rebellion with God. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity, which means hostility, even a hatred against God. Right? You're an enemy of the ways of God. Right? The flesh wants to do the opposite, as we know, of what the Spirit wants to do. Right? The flesh, Spirit says here, flesh is going to say here. The Spirit is going to say go. The flesh is going to say, let's stay under the covers for a little while longer. So what this represents is the carnal mind, the carnal state, or carnality. It means hostility against God, being against the ways of God. And it kind of just, back in chapter 5, after they cross over the Jordan and they're about to, before the battle, the Lord has them all circumcised. And this is the new generation that enters, right? Remember the old generation died in the wilderness. And this is the new generation that survived and they're about to enter in. And they weren't circumcised. And they have to be circumcised. But it also is speaking to us. And Romans chapter 2 tells us, and it speaks to us about the circumcision of our heart. And it's something that we need to do daily. The flesh
wants to keep us away from God. We need to get to this place where there's circumcision internally. We remove the flesh and we live for God. That's two Romans, by the way. We're setting up for Romans coming up. Stay tuned for that. And we see in this story that Joshua sends men to spy out the land of Ai. Right? They had the battle. They're moving on. Next place. And he says, hey, go spy out the land. And when and it tells us in the story that when they come back, they have a report. And the report back is, bottom line, they say, hey, we got this. We got this. Don't worry, Joshua. Right? Give them rest. Give everybody else rest. Send only 2,000 to 3,000 men. We got this. Right? We just went over there. They're a smaller people. Right? They're a smaller, right? The numbers are less than what we just faced in Jericho. So you know what? We got this. Give everybody else the day off. Give everybody else rest. The people of Ai are a few. And it says eventually that as they went and attacked, it says that they had to turn around and flee. And eventually they were defeated. Right? So they go. Victory. Next battle. We got this. Right? It's interesting to see the confidence that they had. Right? And they said, hey, we can do things. We can do all things. Right? Give everybody a day off. We got this. But they all ran. They were defeated. Verse 5 even tells us that after they ran, they were defeated. It says that the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Right? So the defeat that these guys experienced, what they just went through, right? It was didn't only affect them, but it spread throughout the whole camp. Right? They saw, hey, why are they running back? I thought you said we got this. Right? I thought you said we had this. We just came from a great battle. Why are we losing? This is our promised land. Why are we losing? And we're going to see it eventually. That's what Joshua does. He starts asking these questions. The one thing that they forgot that they did not fight at Jericho. They forgot that the victory was not theirs. And they forgot that the victory was God's. They forgot the battle had just happened. The victory had just happened. And that victory gave them a confidence. But it gave them a confidence in themselves. Right? The flesh. Saying, I got this. Right? They forgot who gave them the victory. They forgot, as I said, that they didn't even have to fight. That the Lord did this all for them. They forgot that the victory was God's. In other words, they were led by the flesh. As soon as they got to that place, he said, go spy them out. And he took their report, and they acted upon it, defeat. Going by our flesh, by our ideas. And we see as we get to verse 6, that Joshua finally inquires of the Lord. And in verse 6, he says, it says, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. That sounds familiar to people before that. It says, why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us here to be defeated? Right? Should have just left us. Left us on this side. Right? But we see here finally what he's doing is he's finally inquiring of the Lord. I was probably complaining. But he's inquiring of the Lord. Right? Which is, as we know, what he probably should have done in the beginning. Right? Before Jericho, he is met with the commander of the army of the Lord. He gets the instructions. He delivers the instructions. They follow the instructions to the T. they're obedient to what the Word of God has to say and marching around, and they receive the victory. But something happened in their lives that they got to the next one and they said, we got this. We got this. They allowed the flesh to take charge, to take over. Right? And that happens. And I don't want to say it's okay that it happens, but if it happened, it's okay. We can make things right. We can make things right. Because it happens, or maybe just me, it happens to us. We make a decision and we go and we're gung-ho and we're going and we're going and we're going and boom, brick wall. And we say, well, that wasn't the way. Let's turn around. Anybody ever drive in a neighborhood you don't know and there's a dead end and you try to play it out cool? Like, oh, no, I meant to come here because I know somebody here. I'm just going to smooth around and, right? Nobody? Or is it just me? Right? Try to play it out. There's people in the car. You don't want them to know you made a wrong turn. I thought, you know, there's a house I knew here before, and I had a friend here. I just want to see if they're still here. I guess not. But we hit these dead ends in life. We make these turns that we're not supposed to. Right? These guys here, these guys, they made a wrong turn. They made a wrong decision. And it brought trouble on the camp. Joshua inquires, and then the Lord speaks to him. He finally realizes that the defeat is because there is sin in the camp. In verse 10 and 12, we see that the Lord says, get up. He's down on his face till evening, and the Lord says, get up. Right? Exclamation point. Get up. He's probably yelling more. Get up. Israel has sinned, is the message. Right? Says, Lord, why did you do this? Why did you bring us here that we may die? And why did you bring us here and this? And you should have left us over there. And why and why and why and why? He says, get up. Israel has sinned. Get up. There's something wrong. You need to realize that there is something wrong. There's sin in the camp. And we need to realize that something's wrong, maybe in our lives. There's something wrong. Why is this happening? What's going on? Maybe it's because there is sin in the camp. Maybe it's because there is something that needs to be taken care of. There is something that needs to be addressed. There is something that needs to be redirected. There is something that needs to be fixed. Right? I was talking to Alyssa the other day about her car. And I said, eventually, I said, you're going to drive your car. I said, how long have you been driving? For about a year now? Maybe more? I said, eventually you're going to get used to your car. I said, you're going to realize when there's something wrong. Something's just not going to feel right. And she's like, I hope not. She's like, I hope we don't get there. But eventually you're going to be driving, and a lot of us know that feeling, and you're going to be like, uh-oh, that just does not feel right. I stepped on the gas, and just something is not right. And the car is trying to tell us, hey, something here needs to get fixed. Right? You're like, we're good. Let me raise the volume a little bit louder. And the lights start to shine. Maintenance required, and this light. What is that light? I've never seen that light before. Right? Well, I just won't look down anymore. I'll just, eyes on the road. I'll ignore all these signs. Right? And eventually the car breaks down, and hopefully not in the worst spot, but it's always in the worst spot. In the middle of somewhere, on your way to something that was very important. But there were signs that were happening, and we ignore them. We ignore them. I used to drive a car a long time ago when I was probably her age. A little Toyota Corolla. I ended up burning the heads of that car. And I drove the car for a while. Here's the trick. It was starting to overheat. So I said, hey, if I raise the heater, when you turn the heater, the overheating, it goes down. So I was like, fixed. Problem solved. We can go on longer. We got this. And I remember that car. I remember the kids were little, and I went to pick to Lorraine's grandma's house. I picked them up after work, and I was on my way home. We were living in Ontario. And I jumped on the freeway, and right at mountain, boom, that car died. and that car never drove again, right? Had to salvage it, and it was pretty bad, pretty expensive to fix. But they're signs. We have these signs, and they had signs, and he didn't know what was going on. And he says, Lord, why is this happening? And the Lord spoke, and he says, there is sin in the camp. There's something wrong. You need to realize that there's something wrong, and we need to realize that there is something wrong in our lives, right? It starts with knowing. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. So none of us were ever exempt of this, of saying, I'm good. I got this, right? We're good. We all need fixing. Fixing with an I-N. We all need help. Still need help. We all need help. We all need change. We all need to adjust some levers. We all need to redirect our pathways, change the wheels, whatever we have to do. We all have something that we need to fix. But this happened because of sin. This defeat that they suffered was because of sin. And because of the sin, they were told, you cannot stand before your enemies, and you will now be separated from God. He says, neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So you can't stand in front of them. If you want to keep going to battle, you're going to lose. You're going to keep losing as you go to battle because of this. And guess what? I can't go with you anymore. I won't be with you anymore. And we know that sin separates us from the presence of God. Right before the walls came down, right before the victory, Joshua gave them instructions. And he says, it was on the seventh day, and he tells them, he says, all you, this is in Joshua 6, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take from the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury to the Lord. This is the warning that they had. This is a warning that says all this treasure, all the spoils belong to the Lord. All the treasure belongs to the Lord. Don't mess with the Lord's treasure. Don't mess with the Lord's treasure. Side message. Are we tithing? Are we giving to the Lord? Right? We're going to pass around the collection. No. But it's serious. The Bible says we rob God. He says this belongs to the Lord. The Bible tells us what belongs to the Lord. Are we giving it to the Lord? Are we keeping it for ourselves? They had this message, this warning saying, don't mess with what belongs to God. The warning saying, obey me, it's for your own good. You know, when I thought of this, I thought of Ruth, and a few months ago, Dina shared with us the message of when Boaz gave Ruth the instructions, right? Stay in my fields. Stay in my fields. If you can't remember, look it up. It's in the website. Stay in my fields. I will take care of you. Don't go out. Don't go to other places. Stay in my fields. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. The Lord tells us, don't go and try any other thing. Don't try on your own strength. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. In verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. And then it says, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. The sin had to be dealt with. The sin had to be dealt with. God told Joshua, unless you deal with this, I can't go with you. And this had to get fixed. And they were chosen by tribe, which was Judah, family, the Zarites or Zarites, household, Zabdi, and by man, Achan. And it came as they were picking, right? It came down to Achan. And in verse 25, Joshua tells them, why have you troubled us? The Lord has troubled you this day. He says, why have you troubled us? This affected not only Achan, But as we saw in the story, this affected Achan's whole family. And it affected Israel because of the defeat. This affected more than just one person. Achan's name means trouble. That's what his name means. Right? Naming your kid trouble. Right? That really is like, oh, here comes trouble. They probably said that about a lot of people here. Here comes trouble. Right? And then they come in pairs. Right? Here they come. Here comes trouble. But his name meant trouble. His name means trouble. He sinned. When they approached him, he says, what did you do? Why did you do this? He says, when I saw the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. He says, I saw it, I coveted them, and then I took. And we've seen this in the Bible before. Right? Eve saw the fruit, they coveted it, they took. Right? David, when he was supposed to be at war in the springtime, he saw Bathsheba, he coveted it, and he took. He says, I saw it, I desired it, I coveted it, and I took it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way in our mind and our flesh. We say, this is right, this is going to be okay, this plan sounds good. But if we don't inquire of the Lord, its end is destruction. Its end is failure because the Lord is not involved in this. Achan did not obey the words of the Lord, but he obeyed the flesh. And as we said, Achan's sin affected more than just him. It affected Israel. It affected his family, all his belongings, and our choices can hurt those around us. Our choices can hurt our family, our friends. Our choices can hurt this church. Our choices. Say that five times. Our choices affect not just us, and we need to know these things. 1 Corinthians 12 lets us know that we are the body. Many members. And if one hurts, we all hurt. If one lacks, we all lack. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. But our choices affect not just us, but those around us, those that may be impacted by our lives because God wanted to use us in somebody's life. Our choices can affect more than just us. God called you and He gifted you to help the body of Christ. Everyone in here has a purpose. Everyone in here, say, I have a purpose. Everyone in here has a purpose. You don't say, well, you know, they take care of it. No, we all have a purpose. When somebody is not here, we miss you. When somebody hasn't been coming, you're missed. We want everybody to come, not just so that you're here, but that we can all come together and worship the Lord. We can all come together and receive of the Lord, and that the Lord can use us in our families, in our work, in wherever we're at, wherever we go. We may all grow together, help each other, edify, equip each other, support one another, do life together. We are all the body of Christ. It says that this place where they were killed and destroyed, it says that this place is known as the Valley of Achor, also known as the Valley of Trouble, which it means. This place, this guy whose name is Trouble, is now buried in a place that is called Trouble. Sounds like a place you want to avoid at all costs, right? Because I don't want anybody to go with me on over the weekend to the Valley of Trouble. Who's with me? Come on, we're going to sign up in the back. We're going to go to the Valley of Trouble. And it sounds like a place that we need to avoid. And it sounds like a place that just stay away. Right? I don't know how else I can say avoid. Don't go there. But here comes some good news. We're almost done. I mean, Mila, sorry. But here comes the good news. It says that the Valley of Achor is a place that represents a place where the old man and his sinful nature die, and the place where the new man arises. The Valley of Achor is a place that we need to go to. It's a place that we need to sign up if you haven't been there yet. It's a place that we all have to pass through, the Valley of Achor. And I'll tell you why. It's a place, like I said, where the old sinful nature dies. It's a place where you meet the grace of God. It's a place where sin in the camp was removed and God became their God again. The relationship with God was restored because sin was taken care of in this valley. Sin was removed from the tribe, from the people, and God says, now we can move on again together. Now this life, this journey can continue again, me and you. In the book of Hosea, God is dealing, he's dealing with Israel's harlotry and their unfaithfulness. This is where years and years and years later, right before they're about to be taken captive, and they're painting a picture of Israel's unfaithfulness and his harlotry through Hosea and his wife Gomer. And he's speaking to them, and he's saying, hey, you're going to be destroyed. And it's all this prophecy of what you're going to lose your vineyards, and the beasts are going to eat of it, and they're going to take this, and you're going to lose this. And it's the prophecy of destruction, but then there comes hope. And there comes hope in verse 14 of chapter 2 of Hosea, and it says this, therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. It says the valley of Achor is now the door of hope. The valley of trouble, where trouble was, is now the door of hope. There's a door now, and his name is Jesus. The door of hope represents Jesus in our lives. His redemptive work on the cross will become the door of hope for everyone. This place that I said sounds like a place I need to avoid. The Lord says, no, there's a door there. And there might be trouble in your life. There might be issues in your life. But there's a way out now. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's disobedience, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Did I say that right? One man disobeyed, the other one obeyed. Referring to Adam and Jesus. His death on the cross is the victory we needed. This is a place, the Valley of Achor, where we find freedom. We find freedom from sin. And so finally, we see here something with Achan. I think I said finally before. But we see here that he went when he saw these things, the accursed things. And we see that he coveted them. He saw, he took, right? But we see that he's carrying around things that did not belong to him. We see here that Achan took what did not belong to him. And a lot of us in our lives, we want to carry what God says to me, give to me. We want to carry these things when the whole time God is saying, cast your cares to me. I care for you. But yet we say, no, I want this way. I want this stress. I want the oppression. I want to be depressed. I want to be this. I want the pain. I want the suffering. We carry these things around that we're not supposed to. We carry the things around in our lives that the Lord says, those belong to me. I took those things upon me on the cross. And yet you still want to carry these things in your life. May God help us. He says, I care for you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It is not meant for you to carry these things. It is not meant for you to walk around in this pain, in this suffering, in this agony. It's not meant for you because I took these sins and nailed them on the cross. And it's not meant for you to carry these things, to walk with them, to bring them home with you, to show them to your kids. It's not meant for you to have these things in your life. Achan ran, took them to his tent and tried to bury them, bring them into his household. It is not meant for us to have these things in our lives. And as this journey, as our journey goes through, we've picked up baggage. We've picked up habits, ways of doing things. We've picked up things, trash, junk as we go. And the Lord is saying, shake it off. It's not meant for you to carry these things. God wants to set us free, but we need to be willing to go to this valley and lay our life down there. We need to be willing, if we need to go back and say, I want to lay down. These troubles are not meant for me. I don't want to walk around in these troubles. I don't want these troubles to be a part of my life. We need to be willing to lay our life down at this valley. Can we pray? As we read in Hosea again, chapter 2, verse 16, he says, in that day you will call me my husband. It's talking about restoring the relationship again with the Lord. It's talking about bringing you back to the place where you belong. And maybe there's somebody that hasn't accepted the Lord. Maybe there's somebody that feels I'm drifting away. Maybe there's somebody that says I'm carrying around too much baggage. And whatever the case may be, the Lord says it's not meant for you to carry these things. It's not meant for you to take these things, hand them to me, and allow our relationship to grow stronger. It brings us to a place where we can say, as in Song of Solomon's 6:3, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. A place where that relationship with God, a relationship with that Father, a relationship with our first love can be restored. And if we haven't found that first love, can be started. Achan, it wasn't meant for you to carry around these things. It belonged to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to me. There are areas that need to get fixed. We need to stop carrying the things that bring us trouble. This message today, I know we talked about sin, but it wasn't meant, my intention wasn't to magnify sin, although it's important that it be dealt with. So this message is that the Lord wants us to be free. It's January 8th, 9th, whatever it is. So I say, hey, this is a message for the new year. But whenever this message is heard, may that be a message for the new life, your new journey, your new step. Father, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to set us free, Lord. We know that there's things that we've carried. There's things that we're carrying. There's things that we're gazing at. There's things that we are desiring, Lord. If it's not of you, Lord, we ask that you remove it. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We want to be free, Lord. We thank you for the door of hope. We thank you, Jesus, that you took these things upon the cross. And you say, give them to me because I care for you. Father, may we not be deceived, led astray, not led by the flesh, Lord, but be led by your Spirit, Father. We thank you for your victory. We thank you for your help, Lord. May we be obedient to your word, Father God. Freedom. Freedom in our lives, Lord. Freedom in our homes. Freedom in our families, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the victories, Lord, as we journey with you, Lord, into this promised land, Lord. Father, we honor you, we praise you, we love you, Lord. I am my beloved's and he is mine. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah.